those of you that might not know, this is Hans Mucker, who's a member of our congregation, and we're very pleased to have him give a message this evening.
My son is very excited. Well, good evening, everyone. When Jason asked me to share, I was a little bit nervous, and I met with him and said, Jason, I've never given a sermon before. He said, it's okay. Give me a few tricks and tips. Like he said, when he's at the Bowery, he's not on Zoom, so I can say this. When he's at the Bowery, sometimes, you know, people come up to, after giving his morning meditation, says, that was so amazing. You know, you pause and you just have such grace with your words. And he goes, brother, that means I don't know what I'm going to say next. So he said, just relax and it's going to be okay. As we heard in the scripture today that Suzanne just read, today is a day in the church where we mark Jesus's return to the disciples after his crucifixion and his resurrection. But I want to back up just one more chapter in John to the story of Jesus's trial in John 19 and observe what Pontius Pilate faced as he judged Jesus with the Jewish religious establishment looking on, looking over his shoulder. A column by Rita Haltman Finger in Anabaptist World about a year ago caught my eye a while back, and she had this observation. I'm going to read from her column. This text, John 19, is awash in irony as these two political powers, Pontius Pilate and the priests of the day, battled over how to get rid of Jesus and blame the other party for it. The climax comes when Pilate seats Jesus on the judge's bench and taunts the priest with, "Shall I crucify your king?" As leaders of a people pledged to worship only Yahweh God, as mentioned in Deuteronomy, the high priests shockingly betray their highest loyalty by insisting, "We have no king but the emperor." With that admission, Pilate knows he has won the battle. He can now hand Jesus over to be executed without inciting a riot. The one, Jesus, whose kingdom is not of this world, is condemned by both religion and state. And this is Rita speaking. I yearn to meet with a group to discuss this powerful text and how it might speak to our political loyalties today. This story reminded me of divisions in America that draw Christians toward different sides. And as Rita mentions, here we can see Pilate caught between two loyalties, the emperor back in Rome and keeping the peace here in front of him. Here we see the priests caught between their own professed loyalty to Yahweh in Deuteronomy and needing an excuse to get rid of the political thorn in their side they saw in Jesus. Ruth's words here in Anabaptist World about observing our political loyalties struck me. The story of Jesus' crucifixion is at its heart a political battle. As many of you have not only heard but felt, divisiveness is on the rise among a lot of our fellow humans around the world. The fact that many cannot see past a political party or a religion to a belief in our common humanity saddens me. It scares me in what this divisiveness does to me, myself. As a follower of Jesus, how do I resist the urge to want to see one side conquer the other when I know the violence inherent in conquering will inevitably ensue, no matter which side wins? It's kind of a scary place to be in your own head. Speaking of scary places to be, let's jump forward here to John 19 or John 20, our scripture for today, and think about the disciples together in a house, locked in and scared, really scared. Imagine all of us here for a moment in this room. It's about the same number of people as might have been present with the disciples on that day. And just imagine someone appears out of the blue. But not anybody, your leader who was just crucified. It's shocking to say the least. And now we can imagine what state of mind the disciples were in at that moment, trying to make sense of what happened in the previous week, and also wondering at the same time, are we next? It's not a fun time for them. They sat with a hard question. Who do they side with in their fear? Keeping themselves safe or sticking with Jesus? And then Thomas finally shows up. And when he sees Jesus, he's thinking, no. This isn't real. No way. I doubt this is true. I will not believe. And you know what? I personally kind of side with Thomas in that moment. Would I choose Jesus over my own fear? How would I overcome that fear? And the answer is in Jesus's rebuke of Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and have come to believe. And I ask myself, where have I, or all of us, where have we not seen and not believed? For myself, I'm a skeptic. I want to see it to believe it. I have a hard time committing to anything, and I'm just like Pilate or Thomas or the priests. When I'm caught in the middle between two loyalties, it's hard for me to decide. I'd prefer to have someone else make the decision for me, like Pilate did, get the priests to give up their loyalty to their God. And then I can blame them and take the fall, not have a riot, and get this political thorn in my side, Jesus, out of the way and move on. Because I kind of have a cushy thing down here in Israel. You know, Italy's far away, Rome is far away. All I have to do is keep this Jewish population under control, and I'm pretty good. I'm good after that. It's pretty cushy. So let me blame the people and have them take their Jesus away. That's what I want to do. I want to kind of have it cushy and just, yeah, somebody else can make the decision. I turn also to fear in my own self about what people might think of me if I decide this way or that way. What will people think of me? How will they think of me? I turn to doubt. I like to sit in the middle so much, it's hard for me to choose a kind of ice cream to order or what to order at a restaurant. Just ask my wife. I always want to order the non-committal thing, as in, I don't want to get the same as you. I want to get this other thing, and then we can share, right? Because what if I don't like the thing I get? Then I'm sure to have another option. So part of this message is more about a question. And as I was studying the scripture, a question for me going forward into our world that has divided loyalties and all the divisiveness going around. So where are our loyalties? Where are my loyalties? Have I chosen sides? Have we all chosen sides? And are we afraid to entertain the other children of God all around us who are sitting in our common humanity together? Can we let ourselves listen to each other and listen to others without fear and doubt of what the other person might say, how they might react? In this, Jesus gave us a third way out, not this way or that way, but somewhere in the middle, or just a different way, a way to listen to those around us, to forgive each other and be forgiven, like John 20 says, if you forgive those, you will be forgiven. If you don't, those sins stay. Oftentimes, Jesus's mere presence was enough to impact those around him. How can we take that example and learn to just sit and be and have that sometimes be enough and just be present? So in conclusion, let us remember Jesus' example, and let us strive to follow this example. As he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.